In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
It's going to be all right. Because so many people are facing so many distressing things. I've never heard so many cases of cancer. You know, and I've never been to one of those chemo places, you know, but I'm sure that, you know, people going in, you get the vibes that, my Lord, you know, little kids going through this stuff. You know, if you weren't depressed going in, you'll be depressed coming out. Because you'll start saying, why? 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 There's no answer other than to those who trust in the Lord. Going to be all right. I know you cannot assure people you will live, you know, unless God tells you that. If God tells you that, that's another issue. But I can assure people we're going to believe that it's going to be all right and you're going to get healed. And we're going to keep on praying because God hears and answers prayer. And we're going to believe it. And we're going to step on it. And we're going to dance over it. We're going to declare it over and over again. No more sickness, no more death, but healing in the name of Jesus and through the power of his blood. It's really, you know, people need to hear this message. Because so many people are under it. And they're not told it's going to be all right. They dream that it's not going to be all right. Their adrenaline runs. It's not going to be all right. How are you going to handle this problem? This is astronomical. You can't deal with this. This is too big for you. This is the thing going to destroy you. You know, you go to the psychiatrist and you say, he asks you or she asks you, do you hear voices? Oh, yeah. We all hear voices. Oh, yeah. We all hear voices. You're done for now. This is the last time he'll ever forgive you. You're such a hypocrite. If people really knew who you were. And we all hear voices. They're in our DNA. The devil comes like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. No. That all the believers throughout the world are going through the same thing. That's why they need to hear. I need to hear. You need to hear. It's going to be all right. And even if you don't believe it the first time, stick around. You might start believing it because it's going to be all right. Faith is the substance. It's not something like the air. It's a substance, like it's substance of things hoped for. By faith, we can conquer anything. Grace through faith. But our faith is not in some whim. Our faith is in the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Our faith is not in our faith. I love it when people say, I've got great faith. I say, give me a break. My faith is not in my great faith. My faith is in him who died for me, who rose for me, who paid the price of my debt. My faith is not in my faith. My faith is in Him. And even though sometimes it seems like it's less than a mustard seed, I still know. Even though I can't believe today on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, I'm telling you, Sunday's coming and I'm going to believe again. For this certain thing, by the grace of God. See, I'm trying to be real too. I'm not trying to just, you know, everything collapses on you, it's going to be all right. It takes time. You got to come to it again. Got to come to it. That's why we've got to keep on hearing God's word. That's why we have to keep on hearing the stories. That's why we have to keep on seeing the intervention of God in our midst. That's why God's got to keep on doing things for us. Because you know what? We need to see it. We need to experience it. We need to be part of it. We need to have God being God. Because that's who He is. You know, when people say, you know, God doesn't do anything, I'm telling you, God is God, and by His very nature, He acts. He did not talk about the Red Sea. He opened the Red Sea. He didn't just say, I like that Red Sea. You see this Red Sea? It's a beautiful Red Sea. He opened the Red Sea. He did something. This is God who does things, not God who just talks about things. That's humanity. We just talk about things. God does things. That's who God is. God's powerful. God doesn't just say, oh, you got cancer. Isn't that too bad? God says, be healed of your leprosy. Be healed of your cancer. That's what God says. He doesn't just say, you got cancer. Jesus saw blind Bartimaeus. He didn't say, oh, my Lord, I'm going to teach you sign language. Not that that's bad. I guess a blind person doesn't need sign language. That's a deaf person. I'm going to get you a CNI dog. That's better. Jesus didn't say that to Bartimaeus. He said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Not are you having a nice day?
He wants us to ask.
Yeah, He wants us to ask. And He wants us to ask big. Because He's a big God. He's a God in control. Even though the earth should rock. Even though the sky is black. Even though the stars are gone. Even though the mountains fall. The God of Jacob is with us. God of Jacob is our stronghold. You know, I tell you, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he will try to do it to everyone. Anyone that's worth their salt, believe me, he will try to do it to anyone that's worth their salt in the kingdom of God. We see now Todd Bentley, the poor guy. Now, I don't know the story between him and his wife. I don't know who's to blame. You know, it's none of my business. But I do want to say this. The devil is wicked. He's wicked. And God will bring good out of that. He will bring good out of that. Because it's going to be all right. But the devil is wicked. Wicked. Anything to stop what God's doing. And I'm not blaming people right now. I'm just saying that's just a general attitude of Satan. I have to stop anything that God is doing. Because people might come to the cross and be saved. I got to stop it. See, we do not have the awareness. Now, I'm not trying to give an awareness of Satan. The awareness that we're in a battle all the time. It's a battle. You need to be vigilant. Be sober. Be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, goes around seeking someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. That's why in the midst of the storm, we need the Word of God, the simple Word of God, the beginnings of the ABCs. It's going to be all right. Has anyone trusted in the Lord and been disappointed, the scripture says, in Ecclesiasticus 2? But I'm going to tell you, someone have a Bible? It's got to be a Catholic Bible. Listen, this is Ecclesiasticus 2. This is not in the Protestant Bible. Though I'm going to tell you, this talks about the signs and wonders that talks about in Acts of the Apostles. But let me just read it to you, because I have to look up in front where they put it. It's very, very telling because it really tells the truth. And it's one of the wisdom. It's Ecclesiasticus or Sirach, and it's called 699. I find it now. 699. It's the second chapter. And listen to what it says because it's a powerful reading. It doesn't mince words. It tells you this is what you're going to deal with. And it's not people... You come up to accept Jesus, everything's going to be fine. They're lying to you. Honest. It's ultimately going to be fine. My son, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for an ordeal. Be sincere of heart. Be steadfast, undisturbed in time of adversity. Cling to him. Forsake him not. Thus will your future be great. Accept whatever befalls you in crushing misfortune. Be patient. For in fire, gold is tested, and worthy men in the crucible of humiliation. Trust God, and he will help you. He will make straight your ways. Hope in him. You who fear the Lord, wait for his mercy. Turn not away, lest you fall. You who fear the Lord, trust the Lord, and your reward will not be lost. You who fear the Lord, hope for good things, for lasting joy and mercy. Study the generations long past and understand. Has anyone hoped in the Lord and been disappointed? Has anyone persevered in his fear and been forsaken? Has anyone called upon him and be rebuffed? Compassionate and merciful is the Lord. He forgives sins. He saves in time of trouble. Oh, yeah. Anyone who follows the Lord, prepare yourself for an ordeal. Better have your battle gear on. Better have your slingshot out. Goliath is right around the corner. But it's through the blood that we conquer. It's through the blood that we conquer. For the battle is the Lord's. It's not our battle, it's the Lord's. We just have to go through the motions. Now I'm going to tell you, in the battle of Israel, the first thing that they had were the praises. They'd be dancing and singing and praising God because Israel knew that the battle was the Lord's. And let me also tell you this. Those who played instruments and those who worshiped God, the scripture said they lived near Mount Zion, that when they needed to be called upon, they were very close. The greatest part of the army of Israel was not the warriors, but the worshipers. Yes. I tell you, things haven't changed. You want to know why? Because God hasn't changed. You can have all the nuclear weapons you want, but I'm going to tell you, 9/11 put us into a frenzy. You can be the greatest country in the whole world, but the bombing of a plane can put people in a frenzy. You want to know why? Because the battle is the Lord's, not ours. And we can put our trust in torpedoes, submarines, nuclear weapons. But those who trust in the Lord will not be forsaken or disappointed. This is what St. Augustine says in his Confessions about his mother. She bore me in the arms of her prayer, that you might say to the son of the widow, young man, I say to you, arise. Today we heard the scripture from Nahum that this man, dead, the only son of a widow, and Jesus wakes him up. But you know, Augustine was awakened also. Augustine was awakened from the sleep of sin, from the sleep of intellectualism, from the sleep of really paganism, Manichaeism. He was awakened. And he was awakened because his mother bore him in her arms of prayer. That she would continually be before the Lord crying for this wayward son, Augustine. And let me just say, no prayer that we offer is ever without efficacy. Prayer is, I don't know, it's a creature. I want to call it a creature. Prayer is a creature, when it's done from the heart, that is always before the throne of God. We know that from Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah was told he was going to have a child. And you know what? He said Elizabeth was beyond childbearing age. So what happened? He was struck down, dumb. Why? Because they stopped praying for a baby. But the scripture says, the prayer was ever before the throne of God. Therefore, when we pray from the heart, our prayer is before the throne of God. It has a life of its own. It is always before the throne of God. I don't know how to better say it, okay? I don't want to call it a creature, because it's not a creature, but it does have a life of its own. It's always there at the throne of the Father, always there at the throne of Jesus Christ. We see that Monica did more than pray. Monica wept for her wayward son, wept for her wayward son. He had a mistress and a baby. Oh yes, he did. He did everything that was wrong. But he had a mother in the background who was constantly interceding and weeping for her child. I want to tell you, that kind of prayer changes children. That kind of prayer touches the heart of God. That kind of prayer has a life of its own. That kind of prayer is a prayer that God cannot resist. And it may seem that while we are praying for people, it may seem so terribly impossible and incredible that anything should happen. Because why? Because they are so far gone. Because they are on the wrong road. Because they are anything but doing the right thing and placing their face toward the Son of God. But you see, despite what it seems, that kind of prayer is efficacious. It touches the heart of God. And I will tell you, those that we pray for, our children, they don't have a chance to live as pagans if we continue to entreat the Heavenly Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't have a chance to continue to live as pagans, because God hears the cry of the poor, and God is faithful, and God wants this more than we do. This is the will of God. So having people pray for us, people that are in the wings praying for us, is so necessary. So necessary. Again, I want to tell you that what happens here is just the top of the iceberg, because only God knows who is interceding and praying before the throne of God tonight. What they're doing tonight, crying out for God's mercy, crying out for revival, crying out for the outpouring of the Spirit, crying out that God would do something new, crying out that He would manifest His glory. You see, we are one body. And when people cry out, even for people they don't even know they're praying for, God uses that. God uses that. It's real. This is real. We're one body. We're one body with one head. And these people that continue to seek the face of God, like I think of these Carmelite sisters. I offered Mass for one of them yesterday, for the superior or the prioress in Roxbury, because she's got cancer. I offered Mass for her yesterday. What a privilege. She who prays for everybody. She who's been behind the walls, hidden, but let me tell you, not unnoticed by God. Hidden, but not unnoticed by God. So the nuns asked me, would you celebrate Mass for Sister? Of course. Of course. How could you say no? You know, how could you say no? This woman has given her life for the church. Her life in prayer. And you know, it sometimes gets very dark. Sometimes you wonder if your prayer even hits the ceiling. Never mind heaven. Sometimes you wonder, my Lord, why am I praying? Nothing is happening. No, nothing seems to be happening. You see, this is something that this persevering prayer, Jesus told us we would never get discouraged and that we should persevere in prayer. Jesus said that. And he gave the story of the widow who kept on going to the judge saying, I need some help. And then at the end of the story, he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth? I'm going to tell you, it is necessary for us to continue before the throne of God to intercede. Where would we be in the church without Augustine if Monica had not wept before the Lord? Where would we be today without Augustine if Monica had not prayed night and day? And how did the conversion take place? It took place because he was in the courtyard and he heard a voice, take and read. Take and read. And so he opened the scriptures. I believe it was Romans 13. And it said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not give in to the lust of the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, for the day of the Lord is approaching. And in that moment, when he opened the scripture to that passage and his eyes fell upon it, it was Monica who opened those scriptures. Not physically, but spiritually. Listen to what he says again. Monica bore me in the arms of her prayer, that you might say to the son of the widow, young man, I say to you, arise. He was dead. And you know, the worst thing about this kind of death that Augustine had before his conversion is he didn't know he was dead. That's the worst thing about being dead, when you don't even know you're dead. When you think everything's quite all right. The life I'm leading is just fine. I'm a little better than the people around the corner. And the reality is, he was dead in sin. Completely dead. Didn't even know it. St. Paul on the road to Damascus had no idea that he was dead. He thought he was doing the right thing. He was so misled that murder meant nothing to him for the sake of the law. You see, didn't know he was dead. I'm going to tell you, people in the bar room tonight, most of them don't even know they're dead. Some do. That's why they drink. People that are shooting up tonight, they don't even know that they're dead. Oh, this is just recreational. They don't try. Yeah, play around with the devil. And you want to know what? You're not going to be around a long time because he'll chew you up and spit you out. Oh, yeah, this is, you know, you don't play with the devil. I'm going to tell you, you don't play cards with the devil. You turn your back on him. You keep him under your feet. You don't play around with them.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.